podcast. I hope you guys are having a great day. I'm so excited for today's episode because it was actually inspired by last week's episode. If you guys haven't listened to that one is all about my New Year goals and intentions for the new year. And in that episode, I talked about how in the past year of my life, it's been such a consistent year, a year of just, you know, having healthy habits and having intentionality with the way I'm living my life and just consistently showing up. And after that episode, I actually had a few people reach out and they asked if I had done any episodes before on just consistency and being a more consistent person throughout all realms of your life. So whether that be health, whether that be fitness, whether that be your career. And I thought about it and I just thought that this could be an entire episode in of itself. And so that is what today's episode is going to be about. And I thought that this would be a good time to do it because by this point in January, there are probably some people who had New Year goals and they're already starting to realize that maybe these goals aren't feasible. Maybe they think that they can't actually obtain them. And so I thought this would be helpful if you're just trying to keep up with your New Year goals and just keep putting in the work and showing up and being consistent. I do want to say that I am not perfect in this area. I don't ever want to come off like I don't struggle with inconsistency and I don't struggle to, you know, work out the amount of times a week that I want to work out. Or sometimes I will flake on certain things that I have promised to myself or just promised to other people. And so all of these episodes that I make on here, I just never want to come off like I'm trying to be perfect at anything because I'm definitely not. But I do think that kind of being a hard worker in certain realms of my life is honestly one of my strong suits and just kind of like putting in the work even when times are tough or even when I don't feel like it. I'm very much a mind over matter person for the most part, and so I thought that I might have a few helpful tips. But I will say this isn't going to be like a Gary V style inspirational motivational podcast. This is definitely not that by any means. I don't want anyone to think that. I mean, no shade to him at all if that's your thing. I'm not like a hustler, be productive all hours of the day kind of person. If you watch my videos, if you have listened to me for a while, you know, I really value having a balanced life. But I do think there are times when it does kind of call for just being a bit more intentional and focusing on being consistent and focusing on, you know, keeping those promises that you make to yourself. And so if that's something that you want to be better in the new year, I think this will be a good episode for you. And for the breakdown for this episode, I wanted to start off by sharing why I think that consistency is important. And for this, for me, a lot of this perspective is going to be more of a faith-based perspective. And I just wanted to put that in the beginning because I know that that is not everyone's cup of tea. I know there are people who don't really want to hear, you know, Bible verses or book references. So if that's not your thing, you don't have to listen to this episode. I always want to be candid about that because I know that's just not what everyone wants from their podcast episodes. But obviously, even if you don't share the same faith as me, I think that a lot of us can agree that consistency is important. And I know I have a few other kind of not faith-based perspectives on it as well, if that's something you're interested in. And then I wanted to go in a few times when I wasn't very consistent in my life and why I think that that was bad for me, bad for, you know, my habits in my life. And then I'm going to share my tips on being more consistent and practicing keeping the promises that you make to yourself. And then I'm just going to end with some advice questions I asked on my Instagram, which is just at Michelle Reed, if you guys ever want to check that out. I asked if you guys had any certain specific areas of your life or specific instances where you need help being more consistent, and I could share my advice that is obviously not perfect, or if you have an instance where you became more consistent in your life and kind of how you got there, if you wanted to share that too. So we have quite a few emails as well that I'm going to try to get to a few of those, but that is the setup for today's episode. I think it's going to be a good one. Because I'm recording this episode on Wednesday, I'm trying to get a bit ahead of the podcast. I don't really have a clear-cut high and low for the week. I usually share a good thing, kind of a bad thing about my week so far, but there really isn't much. I will just say that today I was very sketched out because in our apartment, if you guys watch my videos and you've seen our apartment, we have these pretty tall windows and I love them. They're so beautiful. They let in a lot of light. But in the wintertime, like I'm sure a lot of other apartments too, or just houses in general, a lot of the windows will condensate, especially overnight when it's warmer inside, it's colder outside, condensation forms. And I have been cleaning out our windows, or Aiden will do it too, but we'll wipe down the windows in the morning because you obviously shouldn't let water just sit on your windows. But I noticed when I was cleaning them off this morning that there was this patch of what I thought was mold because it was brown. Thankfully, I put in a maintenance request and they came right away today, and he told me that it was just mildew that was growing But that one of our windows has really poor insulation, and so we just need to be really careful to clean it pretty often. And so I'm hoping, I don't really know, I researched it, and I don't think mildew is particularly dangerous, like black mold or something like that, but it does make me think, if mildew is growing, can't other stuff grow too? So I don't know. This is just another reason on my long list of reasons why I really want to move into a home where if stuff like that happens, like you're the one who's responsible for fixing it. It's not you just running it out from someone else, because yeah, it's just kind of a scary thing to think about. But I don't think, I'm probably just being dramatic with that too. I don't think it's actually anything dangerous. Just to kick things off and why I think that consistency is important, I'm going to share some of my favorite kind of faith-based perspectives on this. This first one is actually from a website. It's called csmonitor.com. And I just really loved this little blurb that I had on consistency. It says, "Consistency may not sound like much of a virtue, but it is a big asset in human relations. Where consistency counts most is in day-to-day behavior. What if we were consistently kind under all sorts of circumstances, or if we were consistently honest even under the pressure to lie? If we want to experience more consistency in how we think and act, we can learn from the life of Christ Jesus. The book of Hebrews in the Bible speaks of him as Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. His consistency was drawn from the unchangeable nature of God, Spirit. Jesus was the Son of God, and he expressed the divine nature. The Savior held to his standard of God, derived holiness throughout his life, and this made him a consistent friend of humanity, a consistent healer and teacher. Christ Jesus explained the guiding standard for his conduct when he said, 'The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees in the Father to do. For what things, whoever he does, these also doeth the Son likewise.' Jesus the Savior opened the way for us to find consistency in our lives by teaching that each of us is truly the child of God. By living a life true to God, his Father, he was demonstrating the universal truth of man's likeness to the divine spirit." Because when we look at kind of like models in our lives and people that we want to look up to, when I think about consistency, obviously the person who emulates these qualities, or this quality in particular, the most is Christ Jesus, and the way that he loves us consistently, despite if we are sinners, if we make mistakes, if we turn away from him, if we are prideful or greedy. You know, he still loves us despite the way that we act. And I think so much in our world now, so much of everything around us is so reactionary. It's okay, if someone does X to you, you do Y to them, or just kind of trying to get a rise out of you in general. But when it comes to consistency as Jesus's, it's his behavior never changed despite how people treated him, despite, you know, if he was feeling it one day or not. And I think that's something that's definitely important to look up to. I also really love gotquestions.org, and they actually had a blurb on kind of like habits. And I know that consistency isn't necessarily the same thing as having good habits, but I do think when you're trying to become a more consistent person, it does come with trying to have better habits. And so this says, "The Bible does not specifically speak of habits as such. However, much is said about the meaning of the word. A thing done often, and hence usually done easily, an act that is acquired and has become automatic. We all have habits, whether good or bad. Even newborns may come into this world with a habit of already sucking their thumbs. However, for the Christian, the whole of their lives is one of being transformed by the renewing of our minds." Romans 12:2. "This implies exchanging old habits for new habits in order to please the Lord. For instance, do all things without grumbling and complaining may demand a new habit on our part. We may need to cultivate a whole new pattern of thinking from negative to positive as we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." God's command, "Do not steal," means that we must cultivate the habit of being honest in all things. This may require a whole new habit for some. It is the putting off of our old nature and putting on of the new nature that we are given when we are born spiritually into God's family. This is not an easy thing to do, and it is in fact impossible in our own strength. But Paul reminds us, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Regarding habits pertaining to health issues such as taking drugs, smoking, drinking, we are told, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." For those who belong to Jesus Christ, forming new habits by being controlled by the Holy Spirit becomes a way of life. These new habits are described by Jesus as loving him. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Most importantly, we are told, in whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The thing that I love about both of these sources, I might go on like a little rant here for a second, because this is just something I was talking about with my friend today, and kind of like a general feeling I've had is how much faith-based things have become very much like a business. And I think this has been a hard thing for me with finding a church and finding a good place to get plugged in. It's really hard to find leaders that you can trust who don't have an agenda or who don't have an ulterior motive, even if that's just to make a lot of money. I love these sources because I think the older that I get, I used to overcomplicate religion and faith and make it this thing that was so rigid and like there were so many rules that you had to follow, and if this certain person said that this was good or bad, then that was the end all be all. But as I get older, I realize for me, my faith and my personal relationship with God is actually quite simple. And I think both of these passages kind of share that, okay, we are to look up to Christ and emulate the way that he lives. It doesn't mean you're perfect. And so much of faith and your relationship with God is just built in the day-to-day, if that makes sense. I don't know if that made sense, but I've just been thinking about this lately. And I think we kind of overcomplicate things and we make things so much more intense, but it's actually quite simple. When it comes to what I mentioned on having things out of balance, one of my favorite things, I've talked about this before on the podcast, but I love Augustine. If you guys don't know, Augustine was a saint, and he talks about this principle of disordered loves and how a lot of the sin that we encounter in our life comes from living in inconsistency. And when we think about sin, a lot of times we think about it's just about loving the wrong things, or I don't know, like doing bad things, when in reality it can be loving good things too much. Like money isn't necessarily a bad thing, but when you love it in the wrong proportion, it takes over your life and it becomes an idol. This is the way that he puts it. This is actually from a resource that I don't remember if I didn't list, but I'll put it in the show notes. I try to link all my resources that I share, but it says, Augustine set out to discover why it is that most people are so discontent in life. His conclusion was that for most of us, our lives are out of order. We have disordered loves. Augustine was convinced that what defines a person more than anything is what they love, which is very much true. He said that when we ask if someone is a good person, what we are asking is not what they believe or what they hope for, but rather what they love. He stated that what we consider human virtues, courage, honesty, are essentially forms of love. Courage is loving your neighbor's well-being more than your own. Honesty is loving someone enough to tell them the truth, even if it may put you at a disadvantage. Sin, Augustine said, is ultimately a lack of love either for God or for your neighbor. He famously stated that the essence of sin is disordered love. Disordered loves means that we often love less important things more and more important things less than we ought to, and this wrong prioritization leads to unhappiness and disorder in our lives. This is essentially what James says in his epistle. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. James 4:1-3. James is saying that what makes people miserable is not their circumstances, but that they are chasing after the wrong things for the wrong reasons. The things they love are out of order. And what it gets back to with my faith and why consistency relates to my faith is, one, just admitting that I can't be any best version of myself or have all these good habits if I'm not relying on God to bring me there first. And two, I have to always question my intentions, because I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't get caught up in wanting to make a lot of money. I don't get caught up in wanting to be my most beautiful self or want to get caught up in being like well-liked online. These are all things that I do struggle with, and I just constantly have to question if my intentions are pure when I'm trying to live a more consistent life and if I'm doing it for the right reasons. Times that I have been inconsistent in my life. So I will preface by saying that I'm an Enneagram 1, and I know a lot of people absolutely hate the Enneagram and think it's like evil and demonic. I'm not obsessed with it, but I do think, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I like hearing other people's personality types. I actually listened to a really good podcast by my friend Rachel. She has a podcast, it's called A Small Amount of Drama. It's her and her friend, and they have just like a really great dynamic, but she's a YouTuber I also follow. She did one on if personality types are bad or not. It was very interesting if you want to listen to that. But I am a one, and the definition of a one, or kind of more about them is that they are conscientious and ethical with a strong sense of right and wrong. They are teachers. Actually, I can never be a teacher. So teachers are much better people than I am. So they're always striving to improve things, but they are afraid of making mistakes. They are well organized, orderly, and they try to maintain high standards, but can slip into being critical and perfectionists. At their best, they are wise, discerning, realistic, and noble. But they typically have problems with resentment and impatience, which is definitely me. But sometimes I read those and I think universally people can say that naturally most people do struggle with being impatient because we live in a world where everything just comes to us so quickly. But that's kind of one of the things that I have against personality types. I think that I tend to err on the side of being, this sounds like I'm trying to like brag about myself, but being too consistent in a way where I don't leave room for spontaneity and I end up loving the right things too much and then it ends up being bad. And for example, this was a couple of days ago, but I just had a really busy day. The thing about being a YouTuber is you also have to share your life and, you know, live a life that's entertaining for people to watch, even if you are just being at home. But you also have to do a lot of administrative stuff that's not boring to watch. And so when you're vlogging, it's kind of about making sure that you have a balance of being relatable, but also doing things throughout the day. And so I had a busy day, but I also had a lot of administrative stuff to do, and I was trying to cook this meal because I also wanted us to have like a meal to have at dinner. I was trying to use my crock pot and I was just trying to fly through everything. I was flying through so fast. I was slicing a jalapeno and I literally just cut right through my thumb. That sounds more dramatic. It wasn't that bad, but I hate blood. I hate getting hurt because I can't look at it. It makes me want to pass out when that happens. Even though when I get my blood drawn or anything, if I'm not looking at it, then it doesn't bother me. I just look away and I'm fine. And I got that way because when I was taking Accutane, I had to get my blood drawn every single month, which was not fun, but you just slowly get used to it. But with slicing your finger, you kind of have to assess the damage. So you have to look at it and it just started pouring blood everywhere. Thankfully, Aiden was home. So I ran over and he made me a makeshift band-aid because we didn't have band-aids, but it was just not fun. Those kind of things happen to me all the time because I'm always rushing to do, quote, all the right things, but not actually living and enjoying the thing when it's actually happening. And then I sliced my finger. So the first time that I can remember being inconsistent is mostly just within friendships. For me, I've always been the kind of friend who is kind of a friend from afar, which sounds bad to say that, but I'm just honest and self-aware with myself, and I know that I'm not the friend who texts constantly, who is constantly, you know, hanging out, who's just constantly very much present. That is just not the kind of friend that I have been, and sometimes I get a little insecure because I wish I was more of that friend, but that's just quite honestly not usually what I look for in a friendship in general. Like, I don't want that as a friend. The older that you get, the more you realize that it takes a lot of work to maintain solid friendships. And it's not like when you're in college, when you're just always around your friends, so you naturally get closer to them, you bond more. You have to put in a lot of the time. And so I think drifting from friends throughout the years and being open and honest enough to say that, yes, I do think people change over the years, but it probably could have been because I didn't put in enough effort into that friendship. And I think the second area, this was actually last year during the spring, like I mentioned with being self-employed and doing this as a job, it very much is the kind of job that you get in what you put out. I think especially with YouTube, posting consistently, having fresh ideas, being someone that people relate to online, that's all a part of the job. And I think in spring of last year, I was just not fully present. We also had just gotten Cash, and so he was a lot of work as a puppy. And just for anyone who's thinking of getting a puppy, just know that they kind of run your life for a few months there, especially when they're being potty trained. And I felt my job slipping just a little bit and feeling kind of insecure in it. And I realized that I wasn't putting in enough effort in that area. It wasn't the area that I was really focusing my time and energy on, and I just wasn't being super consistent. I was still showing up, I was still posting, but it's kind of lifeless. And I think ever since that point at the end of the spring, I've kind of done a bit of a 180, even if it's not something that's very visible for people to see online. It's visible for me because I know how much I'm enjoying what I'm doing now after kind of being more consistent. How to be more consistent. I think number one is just don't make promises that you cannot keep. And I love this phrase because you have to be realistic when you're forming goals for whether that be the new year, for anything. For example, I think a lot of times with the new year, people will try to go from not working out at all to working out 5 times a week. Making a jump like that is going to be nearly impossible. One of my favorite books on forming good habits and kind of being more consistent is Atomic Habits, and I'm sure you've heard of it because it's a very popular book, but it's very practical on an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones. And I love this quote that he has. It says, James Clear, he writes, "All big things come from small beginnings. The seed of every habit is a single tiny decision. But as that decision is repeated, a habit sprouts and grows stronger. Roots entrench themselves and branches grow. The task of breaking a bad habit is like uprooting a powerful oak within us. And the task of building a good habit is like cultivating a delicate flower one day at a time." And the thing is, when you make a promise to yourself and then you continually break it, you're just forming bad habits and you're telling yourself that it's okay to say that you're going to do something and then you just don't do it. And you're going to form a sprout out of a bad habit if you keep doing that. And so I think with the new year, if you made goals that just looking back over are not going to be practical, you can always revise them. You can always change them, but just start telling yourself that you can't break the promises and you'll slowly get better at it. Another Atomic Habits quote, he says, "Your actions reveal how badly you want something. If you keep saying something is a priority, but you never act on it, then you don't really want it. It's time to have an honest conversation with yourself. Your actions reveal your true motivations." And I love this because, again, it's just very practical. For me, when I go a while without reading my Bible or journaling, I know it's because I don't actually desire that. And that's a me problem. It's not because I don't have enough time or life is just too busy, because yes, there are only so many hours in the day, but you get to choose how you fill those hours. And if something is really important to you and if you really want to make it happen, then you're going to put in the effort to make it happen. And it's also okay to admit that something isn't a priority. Like, honestly, on my list, I wanted to say that, hey, in the new year, I want to read more books, but I just know me and I know that's not my priority. I can't put in the extra time that I have in the day to workouts or learning to cook new meals, things that I really enjoy doing, and then also do reading. You just kind of have to know that I can't do everything and it's not possible to do everything. But if it is a priority, you're going to make it happen. But I'm just not going to lie, I went through a reading phase for a while and I do love reading books, but I have just gotten so much busier with trying to, I mean, for context, with my YouTube videos in particular, it would be really easy to hire someone to edit my videos. That is something that a lot of YouTubers do and find a lot of success from, but editing my videos is the thing that I love the most. And I also think that, you know, you have a more, and I don't want to say this, but I do think you have a connection with your videos and connection with your viewers in a way that you don't have when someone edits your videos for you. But I could probably free up that time and start reading more and start doing all these other things if I hired someone to edit my videos, but that's not a priority for me. Like, I want to be the one who's editing my videos, so that's just my priority. Number three is to reframe how you see yourself. I think with working out in particular, there are so many times, and when I really started actually going to the gym more, it was easy to label myself as, okay, I'm just not really a gym person. Like, I'm not really a fitness girl. I'm not really, that's not me. When we put ourselves in boxes and say, I'm only this person, which is so bad to do with anyone. Like, people are so much more than the identifiers that you see when you just look at them or when you know of someone's reputation. Like, people are dynamic and they have a lot about them, and you can be whatever. It sounds so cheesy, but you can be that person that you want to be. And I think the reason why I talk about F45 a lot is because when you start going to a workout class for the first time by yourself, it's really intimidating and it's easy to feel as if you're not part of the pack, you're not one of the regulars, you're not there all the time, you don't really know how to do things. When you just humble yourself and walk in somewhere for the first time and you're new and you ask questions when you don't understand something, like the other day, I could just admit that I hardly ever do pull-ups, so I need help doing pull-ups. okay, great. Someone comes over and they help me. And then you slowly become the person that you want to be. You become that regular. You become that fitness person. But another Atomic Habits quote kind of on this, he says, the more pride you have in a particular aspect of your identity, the more motivated you will be to maintain the habits associated with it. If you're proud of how your hair looks, you'll develop all sorts of habits to care for and maintain it. If you're proud of the size of your biceps, you'll make sure you never skip an upper body workout. If you're proud of the scarves you knit, you'll be more likely to spend hours knitting each week. Once your pride gets involved, you'll fight tooth and nail to maintain your habits. And I don't also think that this is a great thing. I don't think you should find your identity in being a fitness person or a really popular person, whatever it may be. Like, you shouldn't make your identity those things about you. But when you start to see yourself in that way, you feel the confidence to pursue those things more. Number four is to surround yourself with consistent people. Stop spending as much time with people who are flaky, who are inconsistent. And I again feel a little bit back and forth with this because I also think God has grace with us when we're inconsistent. And I don't think you should necessarily just drop people who you label as toxic or whatever. I think that Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And as you get older, I think you realize how precious time is and how there really isn't ample time to spend with all kinds of people. And so I think it's perfectly fine to be selective with the kind of people that you hang out with and to surround yourself with people who are going to be a good influence and that are going to motivate you to be a more consistent person. Number five is just to practice having grace with yourself. If you do break those promises, it's okay. Again, God gives us grace. I think sometimes we can approach these things with an all or nothing attitude, but life is so much more complex than that, and it's okay to mess up and then try to get back on it again. Just because you break the promises every now and then doesn't mean you're going to forever. I think it also takes being self-aware to know if you do overly give yourself grace, maybe pull back with that. But if you are someone who never has grace with yourself, to kind of amplify it a little bit too. Number six is just mind over matter. Stop waiting for motivation. You can't ride motivation and rely on that to constantly get you through. Motivation is going to come and go. And if you just rely on that to work harder at your job or to be really into your fitness routine, it's just not always going to be there. And so you have to push yourself. You have to know the times when to just be mind over matter. Number seven is just to recognize that life comes in seasons. Over the past month, we were traveling a lot. And when I came back from traveling, it was really easy to throw myself back into my routine and to feel so motivated with these goals because we had a change. And I think that's something you have to remember when you don't feel it in the moment is that it's not always going to feel this way. And it's okay if you ride those waves of motivation when they come, but you also rely on discipline when you don't have the motivation there too. Number eight is just to be prudent with your yeses. So again, not a giant reader, so I'm not going to agree to trying to read all these books in the new year. Number nine, I'm sorry, I'm trying to go a little quick through these last ones because I want to get to some emails. But number nine is to build systems that work for you. I think practically, if you're trying to be more scheduled in your life, is just to find what works for you. I'm not someone who's a physical planner person. I'm not going to write down in a planner for the most part. And so I use my Google Calendar for my work. And then I also use these templates that I got from my friend Milena, templates that you can just write down exactly what you want to do each day. So I've been using those as well. But you have to find a system that works for you, and what works for someone else isn't always going to work for you. And the last one is just to know that you don't need to keep up with pop culture. This is kind of a random one, but I think that a lot of times we don't commit to our goals because we're so caught up with keeping up with the world. We really do live in a world that kind of screams at you to pay attention to certain things or watch a certain show that's trending. And I think especially with TikTok, it's all about kind of like everyone getting behind a certain theme or funny video or whatever. But you don't always have to pay attention to things that the world tells you are important. Yes, there's some things that probably are, but you do not need to keep up with the world for as long as it's distracting you from your own. Because what I have found is that you're likely going to impact people more by living your own life and being honest and wholehearted in the way that you impact others in your small circle of life, rather than just keeping up with what's trending and what's popular. and all that jazz. We're now going to read a few emails. This one is actually an advice one. She says, "My boyfriend and I got a house together and we have lived together since August of 2021. During this time, we have been learning how to live with each other while also working on turning this into our forever home as we plan to get married within a couple of years. My issue is the housework. I have all these visions of being a domestic goddess, of keeping up with a well-decorated, clean home, cooking dinners most nights, and keeping up with my own self-care. I listen to podcasts and watch YouTube videos from homemakers, housewives, and also young adults like you who seem to have their routines together. But I've been struggling big time. I usually enjoy cooking once I get started on it, but meal prepping, picking recipes, and going grocery shopping and gearing myself up to cook always gets me irritable and overwhelmed. I'm a decent cook when I'm actually doing it, apart from the spaghetti I made last night when I didn't cook the venison all the way through." Wow, that's cooking venison when you're not used to cooking meals, I think, is very much an upgrade. "As for decorating and cleaning, I look around our partially decorated rooms and smudges on the floors from the dog, and I feel like a failure instead of getting myself motivated to take action. I know a lot of it is just a mindset issue, but I'd love some advice on how to be more proactive as well as be kinder to myself as I learn how to balance all these tasks. My boyfriend told me I can ask for help if I need it, but he does a lot of different work within the house, paying all the bills, fixing things when they break, installing appliances, the plumbing, the electric work, mowing, etc. That also takes a lot of time and effort. So my amount really isn't and shouldn't be hard. I see all he's doing and then I feel bad for being stressed about my share of it. I love my house and I want to be joyful about caring for it and making good meals. I grew up with my mom cooking more as a necessity than actually enjoying it. And while things weren't dirty in our home, they weren't exactly clean either unless company was coming over. I see how much you love to cook and how you know how to decorate and keep things clean, and I want whatever magic water you're drinking that makes you like that. Seriously, Aiden is the luckiest man alive to be married to you. You're so fantastic." Okay, I just have to say, I am not perfect. And I think especially with the decorating thing, like I look around at our apartment and think, wow, this place could be so much more well decorated. That's part of the reason why I like minimalism and simplicity, is because it's an excuse to not overly decorate. Because you're just trying to be simple or minimal. But I think with the cooking thing in particular, if you're trying to get better at like cooking more consistently at home and enjoying it, it's just finding meals that you actually like to make. I found that when I didn't give myself a lot of time at night to cook, like even when I make 30-minute meals, when I read a recipe, it says it'll take 30 minutes. I give myself an hour because it usually ends up taking me an hour. When I actually set out all the ingredients before I actually start cooking, so say a recipe calls for a certain amount of spices or the vegetables to be chopped, whatever it may be, I do all of that prep beforehand. I feel like there's a French term or something to call that, but setting out everything beforehand, because it makes me less stressed when I'm actually cooking. And also, if you're just starting out, I don't mean to like plug this or anything, but getting a meal kit delivery service can also be really helpful because you don't actually have to source all the ingredients and go to the grocery store. It's just delivered straight to you, pre-portioned, and you mostly just have to chop and put everything together and it comes together more quickly. And also, I mean, in my vlogs, I do show myself cooking a lot, but we still go out to eat or pick up food maybe 3 times a week or so. And so I'm not doing this every single night. I think a lot of people think that I have like this routine of cleaning and cooking and all this stuff that I do every single day, but I really don't. I mean, I will be honest, I do really enjoy it naturally, and so it isn't something that I feel like I have to try with the cooking. I just grew up around my mom, and my mom really loved cooking. She loved baking. It brought her a lot of joy, like feeding her family and making these meals, and so I naturally kind of associate that with joy as well. But not everyone has that, and so it is hard to kind of get that. But just find what you like. Find recipes that you like. It doesn't have to be something fancy. You know, start off with easy things like you said, pasta. Maybe not with venison, but just make meatballs or something simple that will be easier to make. And I think with the cleaning, again, I'm so not perfect at this at all. I mean, I wasn't aware that we had mildew growing in our apartment, so I don't even think I can say that I'm a cleaning goddess by any means. But just kind of having a routine and cleaning as you go is something that I've learned, instead of having like this complex cleaning routine, which I would say I do have, but for the most part, a lot of the tidying up and everything just happens from day to day. And also, it's okay if your partner or whoever also enjoys doing those things too. I think a lot of people think that Aiden like expects me to do all this stuff. It's really so far from the truth. I also don't show him in a lot of my videos. It's like a personal boundary for me. I don't ever want to become like a vlogging couple channel. And so I don't show him doing a lot of the housework, because it's my channel and I don't show him. But all that to say, if your person likes to cook too and likes to clean too, like, that's great. They can do that too. And so if you want help with certain things, I think it's okay to ask for it. Because the thing with the cleaning that I don't think people realize is that, yes, maybe he's mowing the lawn or paying the bills, but those are probably weekly tasks as opposed to cleaning, where it's very much a daily thing. And so it actually does take more time than those things. So definitely, like, ask for help if you need it, especially if you're, like, working too. A big reason why I take a lot of the household responsibilities is because I don't work a 9-to-5 in an office like my husband does. I'm very much home throughout the day, so it just makes more sense for me. But I'm the one who likes cooking, like, the fancy meals and stuff. He's the one who doesn't really care as much. Like, he could eat a box of Kraft mac and cheese and he couldn't care less. I mean, he appreciates the ones that I make, but I'm the one who really likes doing that a lot. But honestly, sometimes listening to podcasts and watching YouTube videos about homemaking, like, it can be fun, but it also can be a little bit, I don't know, it draws me into comparison sometimes when I see other people who have this perfect home, these perfect meals. And so maybe just find what works for you and don't necessarily look for inspiration from someone else, because that might actually be pulling you worse in it, because that might actually be making it worse because you're comparing yourself too. So I don't know if that helped. I hope it helped a little bit. Okay, this one is kind of in the same wavelength, but I wanted to share this one too because I think it's important. She says, there are so many things I want to do in my life, but the problem is I work full time and I commute, which ends up taking at least 11 hours of my day. I have been trying to start my side hustle and get consistent with so many things like working out, making home-cooked meals, seeing friends, spending time with my husband, and just having time to rest after long days of work. My word of the year is consistency because I want to pursue these interests / joys and finally be consistent and follow through with them. I promised myself that this would be the year that I finally start to prioritize the things I'm passionate about and love. I wish I could stop working my full-time job, don't we all? But unfortunately, my husband and I are not in a place where we can only have one income. How do I stay consistent with all of these things I want to do when it seems like my job takes up my whole life? This one is super hard. And I know there's probably a zillion people don't listen to this podcast, but it's probably quite a few people who listen to that one and relate to that one as well, because I remember when I was working a more traditional job and I hated the feeling of knowing that my life was just so not balanced because 80% of my time was spent at work. And I think it's okay to have a goal, and this isn't for everyone. I mean, this is my personal goal, but to have a goal of changing that proportion in the future and being able to kind of pull away and not make your work 80% of your life, or, you know, work something that it's easier for you to stay home and be able to have a more flexible life with work-life balance, even if that means living off of less money. But, like, practically, in this moment when you're listening, obviously that's not the case. And so I think this just has to go back to what I said about not everything can be a priority. And you have to recognize that you're not going to be able to do it all. Like, you can't see your friends every single week. You can't make perfectly home-cooked meals. You can't spend all this time with your husband. Like, life is going to be a bit out of balance for certain seasons of your life, and that's okay, but you just have to appreciate the seasons that are slower. And, like, maybe your goal is trying to get to a place where you don't have to work 11 hours of the day, including the commute time or whatever, too, and kind of getting to that point in the future. But I think just starting with a goal of maybe doing one of those things a week, like setting one night of the week to be able to make a home-cooked meal, and then also prioritizing spending time with your husband at night, so having a night that you do that, and kind of balancing these things out instead of having a perfectly curated list of I have to do all these things each week. And I wanted to read this one because I don't want anyone to listen to this and feel bad when you're in this situation, because I have to admit that I'm not in that place. I am not in a place where I am commuting and working. I do work probably like 50 to 60 hours a week on what I'm doing, but it's so much different because I'm working from home. I can take it wherever. I can work late at night. Like, it's not this set rigid schedule. And I know that's really hard, but I know when I was in that job, I had a goal of, okay, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. There are people who are perfectly comfortable doing that for the rest of their life, and work is their biggest priority, and that is perfectly fine if that is yours. I just knew that that was not mine, and I wanted to live a life where I could maybe not work all those hours and still be able to help, you know, support our family and bring in income, but do it in a way that was more, that was able to give us more balance in life. So I don't know what exactly that looks like for you, but I think talking about that with your husband too, and kind of making that a future goal too, if that isn't really one of your desires for the long term. This one is just a thought more so than an actual advice question, but she says, I wanted to share some of the mental changes that have helped me be consistent, specifically in my gym physical health routines. I've always wanted to be a gym girl, but I failed at being consistent in the gym for a long time. What changed was my mindset on who I was, and I switched my mindset and started considering myself someone who exercises and is that person that goes to the gym. This helped me not have imposter syndrome when I was walking into the gym because I felt more confident being there. I also am the type of person to be black or white. I wanted to do something all in or nothing at all, so when it came to the gym, if I failed at consistency, I felt like I couldn't start again. It definitely was a mental block, but what helped me stay consistent was first knowing that not every gym session needed to kill me, but that I could go and just walk on the treadmill. Or something just not as intense. This has also helped me not hate the gym, but by incorporating activities that I liked, helped me stay consistent in my physical health. I love this. She also says, in order to keep a habit, you have to like it or you won't do it. And I totally agree. I think with the workouts thing, you gotta find what works for you. I've talked about this, but I'm not a spin girl. I don't like spin classes. I'm not good at them. And when I try to push myself to do them, I don't like them. So I don't do spin. Like, I will do F45 or something that's just more feasible for what I like, which is really kind of more high intensity or strength training classes. So I love that. And I love that you've had that mindset shift. Seeing that we are approaching the 40-minute mark, and I don't want to bore you guys, I'm probably going to end off this podcast here, but I definitely didn't get to all the emails. So thank you guys so much if you sent one in. I hope this podcast helped you feel more inspired and feel more capable of reaching your goals. And always, like I said, not an expert, but I just want you to know that I think a lot of us are struggling with these same things, and so it's helpful to know that you're not alone. If you guys enjoyed, of course, tag me in a story. I've been seeing so many stories lately that are just so beautiful. People, when they're out on their walks, or I have my friend Claire always shares when she's listening with her son, and it just makes me so happy. So if you guys tag me in an Instagram story when you're listening, I would love to see how you're listening. It just makes me really happy, and I always respond to those. You can also write a review if you guys enjoyed, if you want to help my podcast. That's kind of the best way to help a podcast out, is just by giving a good review, because that's how you get promoted more if you want more people to listen. Definitely don't have to, but that always helps. And yeah, just thank you for listening. That's honestly the best thing and the most meaningful thing, is just being here and listening and participating when I ask for questions. It just means so much to me. I feel very blessed. So thank you guys so much. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.